We're going to start with a couple of songs. If you're able, I always encourage you to stand up. The words will appear up on the screen. If you don't know them, don't worry, you'll soon pick them up. We've come this morning to celebrate the amazing grace that God has shown us through his son Jesus.
Okay.
Take your seats. There's always something you forget when you stand here. Not that I've forgotten this bit, but I didn't tell you. If you don't know me, I'm Alistair, and Minister Martin will be speaking later after the baptisms. Just a few bits of housekeeping notices. If you need the toilets, they're that way. But there's a large pool of water in the way, so if you need a toilet, can you go out of that door, please, and the stewards there will show you round. And when the children and youth go out later, for anyone who's under 18, really, there's activities on later in the service, please go out that way, because we'd rather not more people got wet than we need to this morning. The announcement last week that was made, I'll just repeat, the car park. There's policy now not to park down the middle of the car park, please, to allow emergency access if we need it. So if the car park appears, all the bays are taken, there's space on the road, space just down the road at just near the library and other local areas. Please cooperate with that for everyone's safety. After the service today, thanks to Irene and her team, we're having lunch here, international bring and share lunch. If you brought something, thank you very much. I haven't looked, I don't know what's out there.
There's lots.
If you haven't said you're coming, join us, I'm sure it's fine. There's the thing of the feeding the 5,000. It might need to happen, but you're very welcome after the service. This service might be a little bit longer than normal. If it is, you don't need to rush home for lunch. Lunch is here. We can get away with it this morning. And this evening at 6:30, there is a prayer meeting here in the church. Please come and support that and engage just an hour of prayer this evening at 6:30. Two notices from Gareth. It's men's breakfast. I don't even know where Gareth is at the moment. Is he out the back? Can't see him. See Gareth if you are a man and would like to come to men's breakfast next Saturday at 8:30. You can also sign up on the website or through Church Suite. And on the 22nd of November, and Gareth will plug this more next week, there is a quiz in aid of Tear Fund. He's going to run at 7:45 on Saturday, the 22nd of November. I think that's all the extra notices, apart from just something I'd like to plug. When we were in lockdown and we streamed our services, we used to have a little bit of thing about how to contact Martin and how to contact the office, which was martin@bbchurch.org.uk. Just wondering if Jan can load my PowerPoint for me. It'll be a black screen to start with. Let's see if it works. There we are. So I don't know if you can repeat this back to me. Just bbchurch.org.uk.
bbchurch.org.uk.
And once more.
bbchurch.org.uk.
So we're going to push it a bit today. Right, let's try this one. bbchurch.org.uk/light.
bbchurch.org.uk/light.
Right, remember that one. There's two things on here. This week, there's a word we sometimes don't use much in church. It begins with H. Not the heaven word, but the Halloween word. We have a light party on Friday for, I think, school years 1 to 6 from memory. book up via our website, book up via Church Suite. Activities for children that is an alternative to the darkness that the world portrays this coming Friday. It's something light, something positive, something celebrating Jesus. The next question is, and you don't have to put your hands up, were you here last Sunday? And if you were, did you listen to the sermon without falling asleep? Martin's pulling faces at me now. I don't often big up last week's sermon. They're generally quite good. But last week's sermon... I was expecting a heckler.
Yeah, it's normally been
last week's service, Martin talked to us about Halloween and being an influence for light in the world. The recording we have, which is also on that same page, just click this little play icon at the bottom left. It's under 25 minutes. You should see what we took out of it. It was actually a really relevant, timely sermon. And if you weren't here last week or you fell asleep, please listen to it this week before Thursday night, especially if you've got young children. I just encourage you to do that. But if you've got young children as well, please book them in for the light party. There's still spaces. Ellen's not glaring at me too much. I don't know where she is. You'll have a great time. So we'll lose that one for a minute. You can pay me later, Martin. So this morning we are here to celebrate baptisms of Lizzie and Ashton. If you can't see it and you're a visitor to the church, there's a large pool of water there. It's like a little swimming pool. As a Baptist church, the clue's in the title there, we believe in baptism. We believe in what we call believer's baptism, and that's baptism where a person of an age where they can make a decision for themselves becomes baptised. We don't baptise young children. We let someone make their own decision and be baptised. And that's what's going to happen this morning. There is nothing special about this tank of water. It is Anglia Water's finest. It was nearly very cold. So thank you to Cliff and Kev and Martin, whoever else sorted out the heater for it, which I think took a little while. But it is not cold water. But there is nothing special about the water. Additionally, baptism does not this morning make Lizzie or Ashton a Christian. They're already Christians. They've decided this for themselves. They've acknowledged they failed, as we all have. They've repented and said sorry to God and asked for God's forgiveness. And they've put their trust and faith in Jesus. And that's what becoming a Christian is all about. And they're trying to follow him in the way that he's directed through the Bible. And that's why we meet here, to understand that more through our sermons and our time together. But they will still make mistakes. And if they don't, I want to know how, because we all make mistakes frequently. But that's fine, because God forgives us. And we come to God and say, sorry, we're trying to follow you. So don't expect perfect from them. Expect them to be trying to be perfect, but as with all of us, we frequently fail. But baptism is just a public declaration of their Christian faith. And in Acts, Peter instructed the New Testament church, repent and be baptized. And Jesus had told his disciples that earlier in Matthew. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So firstly, I just want to commend Lizzie and Ashton this morning, having the confidence, the boldness to come and be obedient to that command. And if you haven't been baptized and you're a Christian, come and talk to Martin. This is one of Martin's favourite days in the church cycle, I think, of baptising people. So he'll happily arrange another service for you. But baptism is also symbolic. Why do we do this thing with the water? And if you don't know, they'll be totally immersed in the water. And as they go under the water, it just represents putting their sinful life, their sinful ways behind them, and burying it as Jesus was buried after he was crucified. But as we always say this bit, Jesus didn't stay buried, so they will not stay under the water for too long. They come up out of the water, and that represents them starting their new life in Christ. So that's why we do this. It's an obedient act to what's in the New Testament. After the next couple of songs, Lizzie and Ashton are going to come and share a few words about why they're doing this morning, and each of them's got a song. We're going to play them through the speakers. The words will be on the screen. They're songs that are important to them, important to their Christian journey. So listen to them, watch the words on the screen, absorb them. And if you know the songs, join in, I'm sure it's fine. But first, we're going to sing a couple of more songs Steve's going to lead with the band. First one is, we're going to praise because there's no one greater than you. Amen.
Right, similar tempo.
Oh,
Father, that we can join with the angels this morning singing, Holy, Holy. We thank you. We thank you that you are holy forever and that you accept our praise, you accept our worship to you this morning. We just come and say we love you, Father. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. So I'm just going to invite them up one by one, just to come and share a little bit about their journey in their Christian faith. First up's Lizzie.
Hi everyone, my name is Lizzie. Hi, I am so glad to be here. To those of you who do know me, hi, thanks for coming. For those of you who don't, hi, thanks for coming. For those of you zooming in from the States, hi. Sorry I had to get up really early. Thank you for coming. Those of you who do know me will know how much of a pain in the neck I can be. Martin is now very aware of this after I spent the summer begging him to get baptised. I get it from my mum. When planning what I was going to say for testimony, I was unsure what to say, so I thought I'd start at the end just to be countercultural. I decided to get baptised just before the summer. Don't tell Martin, but it was his preach that challenged me to do it. Terrible time on his part because I had the full summer to nag him about it until I could start baptism lessons. I can only assume someone prayed patience over him the week before because God gave him a chance to practice. He might ask me not to do it again. Looking back over the last few years isn't something I like doing. It's one of the reasons I put off being baptised. I didn't want to do my testimony. Back at the beginning, Christianity was pretty much my factory settings. My mum has been Christian pretty much since I was born, and we used to go to church every week. Sometimes I would turn up for more than just the sweets. It was the end of 2022 when things started to get bad. Those of you who know my family will know we fostered. And although I loved both my foster brothers dearly, it would be a lie to say it was easy, especially at the end. My second foster brother left in October half term. It was an incredibly half time for me and my family, as my parents fought for justice from the social workers. I'd seen Orleans, my little brother, and losing him hit me hard. That was on top of being insulted, physically assaulted by a family friend. And although it was a mild assault, it shook my sense of safety and my belief that I could protect myself or my siblings. For some reason, I decided a good way to sort my problems would be to run half across the country to a boarding school, away from my family and my church. As you can imagine, that was a terrible decision. I was bullied and got into fights. I came back after that term suicidal and depressed and without my faith. Despite my parents' best efforts, things steadily got worse at home, and that is all I'm going to say about that time. I was not engaging in church or with God. I felt unseen and uncared for. At this point, I left the church for a while, completely disengaging for it as a whole. Eventually, I had to come back to church to talk to somebody about something. I only arrived after the service in time for Team Biscuits. Despite having attempted to avoid fellowship, I felt such an outpouring of love from people here, particularly Simon Shiverton and Linda Wigston. I went back home basically in tears and came back the next week and the week after. I started coming back to church, if not for God, then for community. As I started to engage in church again, I realised the hole it was filling in my life and I felt the good it was doing for me. It became my church again and I started making friends, enjoying my Sundays. Approaching my 16th birthday, I was still suicidal, but in my presence mattered at church and with a lot of prayer through a lot of people, I gradually got better. I don't know what my life would have looked like without my parents, James Tennant, Hannah Mooring, Peter and Francis Matthews, Steve McCofka, who is one of the Zooming in from the States. Hi, Steve. I stopped hurting people. I stopped being angry. I stopped hating everyone. I became a better person, a better daughter, and a better sibling. It has been a long process over about 18 months, but gradually I've gotten better and my family's forgiven me. I started sitting in the main preachers about 6 months ago, mostly because my boyfriend is too old for youth. And it felt mean to leave him on his own since he hadn't been to church before. And I realised I really like Martin's preaching. He's a pretty good preacher. I'm not just saying that so he doesn't hold me under the water for longer. but his preaching feeds me and challenges my spirit, literally. I'm currently at college where I have a reputation for wearing church merch. And I don't always love it there. The boys are a pain, teachers are a pain, assignments are a pain. But I'm also excited at the possibility of starting a youth alpha there and possibly a CU. I listen to biblical music and even read the Bible without falling asleep, sometimes. I'm still unsure what I'm doing next year after college or even what I'm doing next week, but I know I'm going to be okay. I trust that every step I take will be used for the glorification of God, even the wrong steps, and I will see his plan unfold for my life day by day. Thank you very much.
We're just going to have a song now. It's called Life is Good. It's by Matthew West. If you want to go and listen to it again afterwards, it's on the streaming platforms. There it goes.
They say the sky's falling, heartbreak on the news. Got all kinds of reasons for singing the blues. The world may look times may be hard, well, but I got this feeling down deep in my heart. They can't rain on my parade. This is the day that the Lord has made. Should I praise him? Yes, I should. God is great, life is good. Ain't no worry gonna bring me down. Ain't no losing the joy I found. Should I praise him? Yes, I should. Got troubles and trials, good Lord, don't we all? But my Savior, he answers whenever I call. And this is the reason for the hope in my soul. The one that I lean on is the one who's in control. Life is good, yeah, life is good. On the mountain, life is good. Oh, in the valley, life is good. Sing it with me, life is good, life is good, life is good. God is great and life is good.
And, right, Ashton, come on down.
That's a lot of people. So, for those of you who don't know, my name is Ashton. I've been a Christian for around 3 years now, and I just want to take the time to explain my testimony of essentially showing you and, well, letting you guys know, like, where I came from. Basically, the main thing that I tell people about when it comes to finding Christ is that they're always wanting proof. They're always wanting, like, they want to see that physical proof of what Jesus can do and what he has done. And I just want to say that if you could compare those who were saved by the love and glory of Christ to when before they were saved, you would think it's a completely different person of what Jesus Christ can actually do. And especially with, like, recent terms, like, the path of choosing Christ, it might be difficult. However, it wouldn't be honorable if it wasn't difficult, because it's difficult because it is honourable, and it's honourable because it is difficult. And that's what gives the path of following Christ its value, because of recent times I've been removed from a lot of friends of what I've had over the years. I've been removed from their life ever since picking up the way of Christ and living for what he has planned for me instead of what this world wants from me. And ever since then, I have to admit, I've lost a few people. And you know, people might think, oh, if you're only going to lose things, then why choose the path? Because I need to say that I have also been introduced to some amazing people in my life. I've been introduced to these amazing people at this church, and just genuinely people that have guided me to Jesus Christ. And a few of them are here today, and you know, I just give amazing thanks for all of you being here. And I just want to say, yeah. Just like Liz as well, I think, well, back then, you know, there was a lot of anxiety before I met Christ. And for those of you who did know me back then, you would be thinking, you know, is this the same person? Because if I had never found Christ, I would not be up here talking to everyone who I am now. And I would, let alone be in the room with everyone in here, because like I said at the start, there's a lot of people in here. So, it would have just absolutely frightened me. And I've got the will of Jesus Christ to provide the confidence of what I needed all along. And people always ask for, but like, what has he got for you? And my answer to you is everything. Everything that you need is through Christ. And like the people who are now in my life, like as it says in Proverbs 27-17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Like, people might be removed from your life ever since you chose the right path. However, as long as you're guided to the right path of Jesus Christ, you're going to be okay. Those people who left, they're going to be changed with new people who guide you to be the best version of yourself. And I just want to wrap up my testimony with a complimentary statement. Is that I used to let the fear and stress of socializing with people get the best of me because of who I was before Christ. And I just want to say, I offer a handshake to everyone in this room right now, of which I'm now finally able to do. Ever since I was blessed with the path to who I needed all along, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Well done, Ashton. So we've got another song now, and after that, we'll go into the baptisms. Martin is looking at me when I got Lizzie up first. Are we doing them the other way around? Okay, Ashton will be in the water first. There we are. So we're going to have a song. It's by Forrest Frank, who's been on Christian radio quite a lot. It's called God's Got My Back.
God's got my back. Even when I fall or get attacked. God's got my back. Even when I'm low and full of lack. God's got my back. Even when my soul is full of sorrow, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Why is that? Cause God's got my back right there, never left. I can feel your presence in every single breath. Sometimes we just gotta take a rest. Flowers like to bloom in the season that's best. Oh, your way is better, you make no mistakes. Even when my life is on roller skates, I won't fear no past my path, I'll just keep moving straight. Cause God's got my back.
Come on. life inside of his hands. Favor on all my plans. A roof to keep away the rain. And blessings that outweigh the pain. Oh, your way is better, you make no mistakes. Even when my life is on roller skates, I won't fear no past my path, I'll just keep moving straight. Cause God's got my back.
Right, for those of you who can't see the pool down here, it will be on the camera up here. Hopefully it's on the camera out the back of the pool as well. To be honest, if you've got young children they can't see, get them to gather around, don't fall in. If you want to stand on your chairs to see, that's fine. Make yourselves comfortable. Over to Martin.
Okay. Bastion, I'm going to ask you three questions, and I hope by this time you'll answer I do to all of them. So the first one, Ashton, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
And with the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God, wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
Ashton, having heard your testimony and your declaration of faith in Jesus, it is our delight and our pleasure to baptise you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You are Creator God, and you've got so much to create in him. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we pray for your Holy Spirit to touch him in power. We pray for the gifts that are in him to be released, that many will know Jesus because of his love for you. Amen.
Amen.
After my prayer as well. Ashton, we've got a verse of scripture for you as well. It's from Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. It says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Mm. Father God, we thank you for these words, and we thank you for the words of the song that remind us all that God's got our back if we belong to you. And Lord, thank you that this is Ashton's testimony, that he knows that you are with him, he knows that you love him, and he knows that you have a plan and a purpose for his life. And Lord, we just thank you for that, all that you've poured into him already. And Lord, again, we just pray, Father, come by your Spirit, fill him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Release those gifts, as Mike prayed. Deepen his confidence. Deepen his relationship with you and fill him with your joy as he takes the next steps along his road of faith. May he know your closeness. May he hear you teaching him. And may he continue to know that you've got his back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lizzie, don't run in.
I didn't do that.
So, Lizzie, same three questions to you. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
And with the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
Now, Lizzie, again, having heard your testimony of faith in Jesus and your desire to be baptised, we now happily do so in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. For you, Lizzie. In Ephesians 3:17 it says, then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Father, we just pray that you would keep Lizzie strong, that you would help her roots to grow down into your love, and that you would be with her in the next phase of her adventures with you.
For you. Throwing scripture at you this morning. Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Father God, thank you that we've heard and we've seen that you are doing a new thing in Lizzie. You've renewed her faith. You've changed her attitudes. You're growing her into a woman of Christ who will be a major force for good. As she goes through her life, we thank you for her enthusiasm, we thank you for her passion, we thank you for her devotion to you and her desire to honour you in her life. And Lord, we pray that you would bless her as she seeks to represent you, whether she's at college or at home or at work, wherever it may be. May she know your power and your joy, and may she know the freedom of being forgiven and being grown more and more into the likeness of Jesus. Lord, send your Spirit, bless her and encourage her. Fill her with your joy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Right, we're going to have what I've written down is an interlude. We'll do some bits in it. Martin's going to get dry and changed before he comes and preaches. So we've just got a few minutes while he deals with that. Few bits of practicalities. I should have mentioned earlier, there are some leaflets about Halloween from a Christian perspective. Children, teenagers, and another one Ali's provided as well. Okay, there's three. Come and help yourself to the front to them afterwards. We don't want to see them left here. All the children and young people under 18, or up to school year 13, I guess, are going to go out very, very shortly, through those doors and along the edge of the car park. Please follow the leaders who will take you out. I've had a request. If when the children have gone, there are spaces in your row, please shuffle up. There are over 50 people in the overflow who are going to be coming in to sit in this room to listen to Martin's sermon. It might not fit if we don't do that, so please cooperate and move up to the middle of the rows where we're able to. If the children, who's leading the youth out? Is it Ellen? I can't see her. She out the back already? Okay, Venice, if you want to follow Venice, who's going to the doorways now. If you're under 18, your activities are out the back. Thank you. Go and have a blessed time. have some fun. Right, now they've nearly made their way out. As the others come in, we're going to sing Waymaker. Let's stand again if you're able, and let's continue to praise our God. Just want to take your seats. We're just going to just spend a couple of moments in prayer. That song talks a lot about who God is, and depending what you're going through in life, there are different promises in there that you cling on to. I say lots of you will be aware that Abigail Russell, who used to be here with us with her husband Matt, not been well this last couple of weeks in hospital with sort of quite major surgery, and Matt's not well either. So this morning, let's just lift them up. Father, as we sing that song, it talks about you being the miracle worker. And this morning, in both Abigail and in Matt's lives, we just ask that you will be the miracle worker they need. That you will just touch them both physically. You'll touch them spiritually and emotionally as well as they go through tough times together. And we just come to you knowing that you're a healing God. You're an all-loving God. You're a really capable God who meets needs in ways we can't even contemplate. And this morning, by faith, we just put them in your hands and ask that you will divinely touch them this morning. You will heal them. You will restore them back to full health. And we come and ask that in the amazing, all-powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Alistair. Did you mention the leaflets? You didn't mention the leaflets. Don't forget, those are up there if you want them. Just before I share some thoughts with us today, there is one piece of news which I guess some of you will have heard, but not all of you will, and that was that Dom Leggett passed away this week. So we do need to remember Nicky and the family in our prayers at this difficult time as well, but we just wanted to make sure everybody knew. In fact, let's just say a prayer for them now. Father, we thank you for the joy that we've been experiencing this morning and the positivity. And Lord, we know that not everyone feels like that. We know that some are going through a really difficult time at the moment. And we pray especially for Nikki and her family with the loss of Dom. Just may they know your closeness. May they know your comfort. May they know your peace in their lives as they seek to put things back together and to move on without him. May they trust you to do what's right. May they look to you and may they find strength in you. And if we're their friends, if we know them, Lord, please help us to be channels of that strength and that comfort wherever we have the opportunity. We commit them to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Something just hit me while we were listening to the songs that Lizzie and Ashton chose. One, obviously, is that they're not songs we normally sing here in church. But the second one is, I think both Matthew West and Forrest Frank are going to be at Big Church Festival next year. Okay, so Matthew West is at Big Church Festival next year, and Ali just said we're all praying that Forrest Frank will be. I guess that's everyone who likes his style of music. Maybe that's not all of us, but you know, if it does it for you, that's great. But if you want to get a chance to go and encounter them live in a massive worship environment with thousands of other people, then see Ali, and she'll put you onto her group booking list for Big Church Festival. It is the cheapest and the best way to get there. Is that okay? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, all right. Honestly. As I've been thinking about what to say today during the week, one word has just kept coming up. Have we got? We haven't got the PowerPoint. Okay, never mind. I'll put that down then. And that one word is resurrection. Resurrection. And more than any other word, resurrection goes to the heart of what it means to be a Christian. If there had been no resurrection, there would most likely be no Christian faith as we know it. Jesus, if he died and stayed dead, would just be another one of those failed prophets or revolutionaries that we can see throughout history. Put very simply, resurrection means coming back to life after death. And this coming back to life after death is what marks Jesus out as different to anybody else who's ever come with a message on how to live life or whatever, because no one else has returned from the dead as he did. It marks him out as more than a prophet, more than a revolutionary, more than a teacher. It marks him out as God's son, the Messiah or the saviour of the world. And it marks him out as the one person in all of history who can and will actually make a difference, not just to this world that we live in, but to our individual lives. And we've heard something of that this morning from Ashton and from Lizzie as they shared their stories with us about the fact that their lives are different because they've got Jesus in them than they were before. And they're different, better different, rather than worse different. Because it could go the other way if you follow the wrong person. But following Jesus has made their lives better different. And we rejoice with them in that. But it all comes down to that one word. Resurrection. Resurrection. Because by rising from the dead, Jesus has already made such a difference to this world and to our lives if we let him. And as we've heard from Lizzie and Ashton this morning about why they think Jesus is worth taking seriously and worth following, we've had that imagery through the baptisms of coming to the end of our old way of life. And that's what happens when we get the imagery there, when we get to the steps at this side. We've come to the old end of the old way of our life, and we've died. And when people die, we need to bury the body, we need to dispose of the body. That's what going under the water is all about. But as Alistair very rightly said, Jesus didn't stay dead, so we don't need to hold them under the water. I guess if we were being literal, we'd have to hold them under for 3 days, but that wouldn't be very helpful either. Just a few seconds is enough, because we're being symbolic, not literal. Oh, we got it back. Excellent. So here's just some lovely pictures that I spent ages finding that we might have missed. So resurrection comes from the Greek word anastasis, which means coming back to life. And here we are, we're up to date. Great. The Apostle Paul describes what we've just experienced like this. He says, we were therefore buried with him, buried with Jesus, through baptism into death, and we die to our old self, to our old way of life, to our old habits, our old allegiances even, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that's really exciting, because it does talk, as Ashton said, about life changing. And it's really great when someone becomes a Christian and the people who knew them before they became a Christian can actually say, wow, you are different. I remember a friend of mine when I told her I'd become a Christian. This is thousands of years ago now, obviously. And do you know what her response was? Of course you don't, because I haven't told you. Her response was, does that mean you like Cliff Richard now? I didn't dare confess that I already liked him before I became a Christian, but I don't think that's the most important part about becoming a Christian, that you like a Christian singer anymore. That's just part of the package. And actually, there are some Christian singers, Ali will tell you, that I don't like. Because I don't like their style of music. Because that's why we have different styles of music, isn't it? But people notice a difference. They notice that your life has changed. They notice that your attitudes are different. The way you react to things, hopefully, become more different, and so on and so forth. But it is a lifetime of learning to live like Jesus, but a lifetime in which he gives us the power to do that through his Holy Spirit. Now, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead tells us several really important things, apart from these things that we've got up here already. United in death, we're united in life in a resurrection like his. First of all, it tells us that his death on the cross on Good Friday was enough. It was enough to pay the price for your sins, for the things that you've done wrong, you thought wrong, you've said wrong. It was enough. It was enough to pay the price for my sins. In fact, it was enough to pay the price for all the sins that have ever been committed in the history of humanity and that ever will be committed in the history of humanity. Jesus on the cross did something absolutely amazing in that he declared that through his death we could know forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. And we could have a clean slate, that God chooses to forget the former things. And once we put our faith in Jesus, what God sees is not us and our sinfulness. He sees Jesus and his holiness and his righteousness in us. Some of you could look a little bit more encouraged about that. That's the first thing. Second thing, in bringing Jesus back from the dead, God has made a declaration. He's declared that sin and death and evil and hell and wickedness and all the sorrow and sadness and all the bad things in life have been defeated because Jesus died and because Jesus rose again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a bit better. Make Pentecostals of you yet. Thirdly, the resurrection of Jesus means that we have a hope and a future. No longer are we walking in darkness. No longer is death that full stop to our lives. But we can walk out of the darkness into the light of his love, into the power of his resurrection life, and know that his love and his life have conquered death and opened up the way for us to receive life after death too, if we follow Jesus. That's pretty good as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all right, yeah, I suppose, yeah. Not bothered either way, really. Just want to have a sleep. Thank you, Alan, yes. Fourthly, the resurrection of Jesus means we can know him personally. We can have a relationship with him where we speak to him and he speaks to us, where we know that he listens to us and we hope that we listen to him. A personal relationship, as personal as the relationship you have with a family member, a close family member, a close friend. And the Bible actually says Jesus sticks closer to us than a brother when we choose to believe in him. And you know what? It's very, very hard to have a personal relationship with someone who's dead. They're not very talkative. And they just don't listen. But as Jesus is alive, we can and we do talk with him. We can and we do hear his voice. And we can and we do receive his love. These are all amazing things. This is just, it blows your mind when you stop to think about it. What a wonderful thing the resurrection is. And what wonderful things the resurrection has opened up for each and every one of us. There's more. Fifthly, the resurrection means that we can know God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the holiest of holies. We can know this God as our father. We can know God as our father. Do you remember in the school playground, you used to go, my dad's bigger than your dad. Thanks to Jesus, our dad's bigger than anybody's dad ever. Because the resurrection opens up the door for us to become children of God, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, which means whatever God has for Christ, he also has for you and for me. Do I hear a little hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And this is the core of our hope as Christians, that the one who died for our sins rose again so that we can know this forgiveness and this personal relationship with God. We don't have to go through any kind of religious rigmarole. We don't have to go through any kind of legal procedure. We don't have to follow any rituals. We can just talk and listen to God because of Jesus. You don't have to pray through anyone else to get to Jesus. You don't have to read a certain amount of books to be acceptable to God. Because the Bible tells us God loves us so much that he sent his son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I've said it so many times, but God cannot love you any more than he loves you already. And he will not love you any less. Because he's loved you since before the creation of the world, which was quite a long time ago. And that's whether you believe in Big Bang, evolution or creationism. It's still a long time ago. Just think about that for a minute. And here's the clinch here, is that if you or I were the only person around, Jesus would still have died for us. And think through that logically, that means we would be the ones who had whipped him and beaten him, put the crown of thorns on his head, put the nails in his arms and his feet, and hoisted the cross up, put him in a tomb. He would have still died for us, and he would have still risen again for us. And that is the great joy and the great hope and the wonder of this word, resurrection or anastasis. And here's something else that hopefully will help. The resurrection of Jesus is historical fact. Before I went into ministry, I was a history teacher. Lots of you know that. Maybe what you don't know is that my first degree was in ancient and medieval history. So Romans all the way up to Normans and stuff like that, and a little bit up to the Tudors. And so I was exposed to contemporary historical texts around the time of the story of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John were all written within a generation of the death and resurrection of Jesus. that makes their accounts ultra reliable, because there were people still alive who could have said, you're writing a load of tosh, mate. And actually, historians generally say that a document that's several hundred years after the event, for example, Julius Caesar's Gallic Wars, written that the earliest copies we've got are hundreds of years after it happened, and we are convinced historically they are accurate. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, written within 30 to 40 years of Jesus' life, and people try to say they're not true. They are historically accurate. But that's not all, because there were Roman and Jewish writers. One chap called Josephus, who was a Jewish writer, who was an ally of the Romans, and he wrote about the resurrection of Jesus, and Roman authors like Tacitus and Suetonius, who came a little bit later on, also talked about trouble caused by someone called Crestus, which was the Latinized version of Christ, and tales of his resurrection from the dead. It's a historical fact, the resurrection. Jesus wasn't revived, nor was he reincarnated. He was resurrected in a physical body that was recognizable to those who had known him before his death, and he is still alive today. That's what Lizzie and Ashton know to be true. It's what so many of us here today know to be true, and it's what millions of people over the last 2,000 years have known to be true too. It's the resurrection of Jesus that makes all the difference. Without the resurrection, there'd be no good news, there'd be no hope, there'd be no meaning to life. Paul again, in 1 Corinthians 15, says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. I'm so glad to hear this morning from at least one person here that my preaching is not useless. Thank you, Lizzie. He says, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. You see, if someone dies for you and stays dead, they haven't done anything other than perhaps saved your life for a while. But someone who dies for you and comes back to life declares that they have influence and power and authority over what happens to you. So if there's no resurrection, if Christ has not been raised, do you know what? We're all wasting our time here this morning. Yeah, we've sung some nice songs, but none of them would be true. We've done some interesting things with some water, and we're listening to some bloke prattle on about stuff that may or may not be true if Christ has not been raised. More than that, life would be hopeless. It would mean that we are simply accidents in a big cosmic sense, that we have no meaning, no purpose, and death remains the full stop to our pointless, insignificant lives. That's a bit depressing, isn't it? But 1 Corinthians 15:20, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. We talked about first fruits a few weeks ago. Jesus was the first to rise from the dead and to ascend into heaven and to live in the glory with the Father. And he is the first fruits of all who come after him. That includes you and me. What happened to Jesus after death will happen to you and me if we put our faith and trust in him. And that, my friends, is good news. That, my friends, is hope, and that, my friends, is what this world needs, particularly now when you look at the warmongering and the disasters and the troubles that are going on all around this world. This world needs the hope of the resurrection. 2025 needs hope. You need hope. I need hope. If you've put your faith in Jesus, if you believe in the historical account of the resurrection, you have that hope. Because we're promised that Jesus comes to live in us and with us. He is our living hope. By the power of his Spirit, he can transform our lives. He can deepen love and grace and forgiveness. And he can introduce God's kingdom into our lives as a foretaste of what's to come. And no matter what's going on in the world, we can live in hope because we know the one who holds the whole world together. We know the one who created. We know the one who sustains things. We know the one who redeems things and who promises to renew things. We have hope. That's why when a Christian dies, their funeral service tends to be full of hope, because we know where they've gone. Jesus says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. And he says, I go there to prepare one for you. And if I go there to prepare a room for you, will I not come back and take you to be there with me? This world is not our home. This world is not our home. Eternity with Jesus is our home. The Father's house is our home. We're just passing through here. Our 70 and 10, or however many more than the 10 we get. It's a bit like we're on holiday. Oh, some holiday. But the best part of a holiday, one of the best parts of a holiday, is when you're travelling home afterwards and you know that you're going to be in your own house, in your own seat, with your own mug, your own coffee, your own bed. You feel secure. That's what death is for the Christian. It's going home to be with Jesus. Why? Because we've been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we have a living hope of Jesus in us right here and now. God's kingdom is here right now. We can experience it through our faith in Jesus as a foretaste of what is to come. It's knowing that we're known, loved, and wanted by the God who made us. That's why the resurrection is so important. If not for the resurrection, none of that stuff would be available to us. I'm known in this church for quoting Tom Wright occasionally. You may have noticed, if you're regular, I haven't done it for a few weeks, and I've been getting withdrawal symptoms, so here we go. Bishop Tom Wright, as I close, says that the resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday is the moment of new creation. The moment of new creation. This is the first day of God's new week. The darkness has gone and the sun is shining. We can know this to be true for ourselves simply by giving our lives over to Jesus, as Lizzie and Ashton and millions of others have already done. The resurrection means we don't need to stumble about in the darkness. It means we can walk in the light and the warmth of God's love. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for all that it means to us. And we thank you that without it, we would not have the hope of Christ in our lives. We would not have hope of any sort. Thank you that Jesus died for our sins. Thank you that he rose from the dead. And thank you that he promises that each and every one of us who come after him, who follow him, who align ourselves with him, will be raised as he was raised to eternal life, to a place where there is no sin, no sickness, no evil, no death, no dying, no sorrow, no sadness. Nothing bad at all, simply your love and your grace and your goodness and your light, living as we were always created to be. Thank you that anyone who puts their trust in Jesus can say that they too are a new creation because of this living hope that we have within us. We want to celebrate that. We want to thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing a song about Jesus Christ, our living hope. Thanks, Steve.
God.
That was a bit half-hearted, wasn't it? Please just be seated for a moment. We've nearly finished. Just a couple of things to end up on. And the first one is, the words of that song really sum up the results and the implications of the resurrection. And if you can sing those words and know them to be true, then hallelujah. If you can, if you can't yet do that, we'd love to help you meet Jesus. We'd love to help you put your faith and your trust in him. And all you need to do is ask anyone that you've seen up the front this morning, or someone you've come with, or whatever. And there will be some folk down the front here with our prayer ministry as normal. They'd be happy to answer questions as well. But we just want to encourage you. This resurrection, it really happened, and it really has meaning, and it really has import in our lives. And we just want to encourage you to hear that good news and to accept it for yourselves. In a moment, I'll lead us in a prayer of commitment. And if you want to make that your prayer, please do just tell somebody you've done it afterwards, so we can help you on the way. And then the second thing, and if you're a regular here, you know what's coming now. If you're a Christian and you haven't yet been baptized as a believer, why not? Why not? The Bible says, believe and be baptized. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And he commands us to go and make disciples. And then the first thing we do when we've made disciples is to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We love baptisms. Alistair was right, it's my favourite service of ever, whenever. Just lovely hearing what's happening. We'd love to hear your story. If you've come to Jesus and you've not yet been baptised, please come and see me. We can arrange it quite easily. A final prayer, then a final song. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you died for me and for my sins on the cross at Calvary on Good Friday. I thank you that you love me so much, you were prepared to stand in the gap for me and take my place. And Jesus, I am so excited because you rose from the dead. You declared that death is over. You declared that my sins are forgiven. You declared that I am free and that I am a new creation if I put my faith and my trust in you. And Lord Jesus, I choose to do that right here. Right now, to know that you've got my back, to know that no matter what's going on in the world, you are good and life is good because you are with me. I receive your forgiveness into my life. I receive your love into my heart, into my soul, into the very depths of my being. And I choose to live for you from this moment on. Please come into me by your Holy Spirit. Give me a new heart and a new mind, and help me to learn what it means to be a new creation, living the resurrection life with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 So we're going to sing one final song to close. Teas and coffees are available before lunch. Please do stay for both if you're able to. Prayer team will be down here if you'd like to pray through anything, either something that we've spoken about or you've experienced this morning, or something that you've come with. And we'd love to hear from you if you want to get baptised, if you've just given your life to Jesus, because that's actually what it's all about. And it all started on that Resurrection Sunday, which many of us believe is the greatest day in history. Thanks, Steve. you for that greatest day in history. We thank you for the power that it released into our world and into our lives. And as we finish this part of our time together today, Lord, whether we are going through just for tea and coffee, or for tea and coffee and for lunch, or we're going straight home, may we go knowing the presence of the living Lord Jesus in our lives and around our lives, and may we live in the light of that happy day. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be on us all this day and every day. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.